This is the state of things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao, in for Frank Stacio. State Board of Education Chair Bill Coby submitted his resignation yesterday. This move comes after State School Superintendent Mark Johnson shared his plan to reorganize the Department of Public Instruction. The board and the superintendent have been at odds over who controls the department, and earlier this summer, the North Carolina Supreme Court ruled in favor of a law that shifted certain powers to the state superintendent. This is just one of many education headlines this week. WNC education policy reporter Liz Schlemmer is here to fill us in. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with talking about who the players are. What exactly does the Board of Education do? What is their relationship with the state superintendent? What is everyone's role here?
Okay, so we're talking about the Department of Public Instruction, which administers the state's public schools, that implements the state education budget. And at the head, you've got the state superintendent, who handles DPI business on a regular basis. And he's also the board secretary and chief officer. And then you've got the Board of Education, which sets the rules and regulations for DPI. And at its head is a chair who is elected to run the meetings and be a representative for the board.
Okay, so and it was the State Board of Education Chair Bill Coby that announced his resignation yesterday. He is a Republican. He was appointed by Governor Pat McCrory. He's been serving for about 5.5 years. Why is he resigning?
Well, he says that he wants to leave room for new leadership, although it's not really clear who he means by that. He's not endorsing anyone to replace him on the board or to replace him as chair of the board. And when I talked to him yesterday, he said that he was surprised at the media response to his resignation. But considering the context, it really is the big news of the week. This comes less than 2 months after a state Supreme Court decision that ruled in favor of a law that shifted some powers to the state superintendent. And it also comes after the state superintendent announced a new organizational chart for DPI, where he's exercising some power to create new staff positions and shake up staffing at DPI. Now, we should also note that Bill Coby is almost 80 years old, so the idea of him retiring isn't out of the question, but he's resigning only 6 months before his term was set to be up, and he had already said that he didn't plan to seek re-election by the board to be its chair.
Okay, so we're going to unpack a couple of those elements you mentioned. Let's start first with the legal battle between the State Board of Education and the state school superintendent. The state Supreme Court weighed in earlier this summer. What is at the center of that decision?
So in 2016, just after Superintendent Johnson was elected, the General Assembly created a new law that shifted some powers from the State Board of Education to the state superintendent, specifically about high-level hiring and firing at the department. And the State Board challenged that as unconstitutional. And we got the decision 2 months ago that affirmed that law, and it also reaffirmed the relationship between the board and the superintendent in the Constitution, but it gave Johnson a little bit more power over the staffing at DPI. Now, when it first came out, both sides claimed victory, and the practical implications were a little bit unclear right after the decision. But this reorganization that we're seeing this month and the new staff at DPI is really the first concrete effect coming out of this Supreme Court decision.
So what are the practical implications here? How has the relationship shifted now?
Well, I think first we have to understand what that relationship is between the State Board of Education and the state superintendent. And our former WNC reporter, Jess Clark, had this great metaphor where she said, it's like DPI is this big ship and Johnson is at the helm, but he's being given direction on where to steer the ship by the state board. And instead, Johnson is saying, no, he wants to be able to choose who his first mate is. He wants to decide the direction of DPI.
So there has been this ongoing tension. The relationship appears to be very strained between the state board and Superintendent Johnson. Is this something that parents are worried about, teachers are worried about, something they should be worried about?
Well, that's something that I've often wondered is, you know, whether or not voters understand that there has been this strain between them. This has been a long power struggle, and these entities do lead our public schools. I can say from sitting through a lot of State Board of Education meetings that the tension between them is palpable. It's even awkward at times. You know, they're not best buds, and that does strain a working relationship. But Johnson says that he's ready to move forward, and Coby says that he thinks that the relationship between the board and Johnson are improving.
Let's hear briefly from those voices. Let's start with Superintendent Mark Johnson talking about the tension between the state board and DPI leadership. Here's what he had to say.
Well, I am moving forward, and I have my clear set of priorities to improve this department, to reduce testing, to really dig into state standards that are causing confusion for parents and students. The state board and I share a lot of similar priorities, and I think you're going to see that over the months to come, that we're going to be working in the same general direction.
That was State School Superintendent Mark Johnson in a conversation with WUNC education policy reporter Liz Schlemmer. Liz is my guest now, talking about education news from the week. So he's speaking there about his priorities and about his reorganization plan. Tell me a bit about what his priorities are.
Well, he says that he wants to reduce silos in the department and promote collaboration between staff. He created four new deputy superintendent positions that are going to report directly to him. In the past, a lot of those senior positions dual reported to both him and to the board, and he removed that dual reporting. He took this organizational chart and he did show it to some of the State Board of Education members in advance to get feedback from them. And the one thing that he heard is, well, where's the State Board of Education on this chart? I don't see it on the chart. And he said, well, that's very valid feedback. And he was really just thinking about the day-to-day operations. And he put them back in, sort of hovering at the top. He does say that this is a big shift, but that it makes sense because he's at DPI every day and the board isn't. They only meet for about a day and a half every month. And then some of these new deputy positions that he created also reflect some of his policy priorities. He has a deputy for early education, as well as a deputy for innovation, which is going to handle charter schools and accountability. And he's given that to Eric Hall, who right now is the superintendent of the Innovative School District. So his responsibilities just quadrupled, which will be interesting to watch as that new school opens up this month.
Okay, I want to hear from Bill Kobe. We spoke earlier about his resignation, the State Board of Education chair. And he, you asked him about Mark Johnson's reorganization plan and the thoughts that he had about what this would look like. Let's listen.
I can't speak for everybody on the board, but we don't fully understand how he has placed certain positions, but it's his business and we've had our input, and the best organization always is the one that works to get the job done. So I hope that the new organization will work.
That was State Board of Education Chairman Bill Kobe. He just announced his resignation yesterday. My guest is WNC education policy reporter Liz Schlemmer. So what are critics saying about this reorganization? Is there any concern from people you're hearing in the education community?
Well, not a lot of critics are speaking up yet. During the State Board of Education meeting when he unveiled the new chart, you know, there wasn't a lot of pushback or criticism, but I have seen some on, you know, through blogs and Twitter saying, you know, Johnson is gaining a lot of control and he doesn't have a lot of education experience. He's only taught for 2 years with Teach for America. He has no governing experience prior to being the state superintendent. And then another thing that's a little bit interesting about this and the reaction to this is that, you know, both Kobe and Johnson are Republicans. And when Kobe resigned after 5.5 years as chair, a number of Democrats have said, you know, thank you for your service to the state's public schools. And we haven't really heard that from Republicans, including Johnson, including leaders of the legislature, at least not yet.
Okay, let's move on now to another big education story this week. North Carolina School Boards Association took state agencies to court over $730 million. We don't have a ton of time, but tell me about this case.
Okay, so the State School Boards Association is taking to court seven state agencies demanding back payment of about $730 million. This comes from a 2008 court decision that said that these agencies owed money that they were collecting for certain civil penalties and owed it to the schools. This is to fulfill a constitutional mandate. There's a long history behind it that we'll get to later. But and the defendants are the state agencies, but the General Assembly is who would have to actually direct the funds to these schools. And now the School Boards Association, after 10 years, is asking for an extension on that judgment because it was set to expire this month, and saying that these agencies still owe this money and they'd like to see some payment or settlement.
And so $730 million is the amount they say they're owed. That's about 24 times the annual technology budget. And this money is supposed to be used for technology in schools. What's the significance of this money briefly, and what is going to happen with this case?
Okay, so it is a very large amount, and that was set by a law to say they would go for technology. What's going to happen next? There's going to be a hearing, and we'll see. But I think the important thing here is that the attention on this case has been resurrected. You know, this was 10 years ago, and this money hasn't been paid. So now the school boards are hoping that this will put pressure on the General Assembly to either get new funding sources to generate some of this money that they say is owed. And the school board lobbyist has also been working to try to get legislation that would create new funding sources.
Okay, there's a lot more there. And you can go to our website, stateofthings.org, to check out all of Liz's reporting. She is WNC's education policy reporter. Thank you so much, Liz.
Thank you.
Just ahead, a new series takes us into the colorful world of the quinceañera. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.